Well, thank you. A joy to be with you here this morning. And we have a letter here. We write letters to the editor and have since the early 1950s. And if you didn't get one, be sure and get one before you leave this morning, although the ushers have given you one of the letters that we write to the editor. And they print them in the smaller newspapers in the smaller towns there. And we've been writing one every month. That's how often they print a letter there from different people that write. We get out the message of redemption and salvation, usually several scripture verses, as you can see there in the letter. And we encourage you to do the same. Many, many issues come up, and you need the Bible position on many of these issues that come up today. Now we're looking in the Bible to the book of Proverbs in chapter 22 and verse number 1. We're preaching on the topic this morning of names. Names are mentioned in the Bible again and again and again. Sometimes in a good light, sometimes in a bad light. So very, very important. We see names dealing with issues. And names dealing with action. For instance, if I mention the name Hitler, you usually think of the Nazi Party and World War Number Two. If I mention the name Mussolini, you usually think of Italy in World War Number Two. And even names that are more up to date. So names are associated with positions and with action. Now let's look in Proverbs 22 and verse 1. It says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." My name is Arthur, Arthur Houck. I can remember my dad telling me, "Well, that name Houck is a good name. Don't you disgrace that name by getting in jail. Don't you disgrace that name by doing some conduct that is wrong and wicked and sinful." The Bible says a good name is better than great riches. Better than what? Yes, silver and gold with the loving favor of a good, good name. Now, money's important. You need it to get along. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. So you ought not to love money, but the good name is so very, very, very important. You need to have a good name. Now, let's look in the scripture here at the book of 3 John. And you can turn with me if you want, or you can just listen here. There are three names mentioned in this area which are very, very important. You turn to Revelation and then you back up a little bit and you come to 3 John. Now, we think of John and chapter number 1. He wrote this, you know. I mean, this is the John of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And he wrote these little Johns. I call them little Johns. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And he also wrote the book of Revelation as well. But in the book of John, he talks about names. Andrew brought Simon Peter to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter wrote two books of the New Testament. You read the book of Acts, what is it? It's Peter, 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 Peter preaching to the Jews. In the last part of the book of Acts, it's Paul, Paul, Paul preaching to the non-Jews. So names are mentioned. Andrew's name, Peter's name. But this is the book of 3 John. Okay, notice here it says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Jesus, whom I love in the truth." Okay, truth is important here. It's mentioned in verse 1. It's mentioned three times in verse number 3. This fella is a good fella. We might call him a good egg because he's doing the right thing and his name is written in the Word of God, Gaius. Notice verse 3. "For I rejoice greatly," 3 John verse 3. "I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." So this fellow walks in the truth. You know, the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the life, the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We have so much false lying today, don't we? Oh, it's sad, sad, sad. Yes, people that directed great corporations in America were found to be untruthful, a liar. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. So this fellow walks in the truth, you see. I've no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Oh, how wonderful it is, walking in truth. And so this fella stands for what's right. And this fella is a testimony unto God and a testimony unto Jesus Christ. God commendeth his love toward us in the while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We read in Romans 5 and verse number 8. Now let's take a look at another fella here, and that's verse 9 of 3 John. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Now this fella's a bad fella. This fella's a bad egg. I mean, he's the big wheel in the church, you see. And boy, he's the idea, rule or ruin. It's got to go my way or else. Or else what? Else I'll quit the church. Well, I got news for you. He says the church will stop, but if he quits, it won't stop. Notice here how bad he is in verse number 10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, plotting against us with malicious words. Oh, my bad words, you see. Not content therewith, neither doeth he himself receive the brethren, but forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. So here's somebody that comes around the church with a spiritual gift. And yes, this fella, he'll not receive them and he'll kick them out of the church. He is a bad, bad, bad egg. Rule or ruin, Diotrephes. And his name is mentioned here. He's the big cheese. He's the big dictator. Yes, I gotta run this thing, or if it doesn't go my way, I'll quit. Well, it'd be better off if he would quit, you see. He's a bad, bad character. But let's get to a good one here in verse number 12. Demetrius have a good report of all men, see, and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Here again is truth. And he has a good report of all men. You know, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, we read, do good unto all men, especially those who are in the faith. Yes, especially those who love the Lord Jesus. But we do good unto all men. We help all men, see? Well, this fella, he does that. His record is true here. He has a good report of all men. A good report of those that are headed for heaven. A good report of those that are honest, that are not converted. Jesus said, except you be converted, become as little children, you'll not enter into the kingdom of heaven. We read that in the book of Matthew and chapter number 18. Yes, this fella has a good, good, good report. Well, let's look at something else here in the Word of God. And this is back in the book of Galatians. And so we turn to the book of Galatians because we're preaching on the topic of names. And we look here at a fellow by the name of Paul who wrote Galatians. You know, Paul wrote more of the New Testament than any other one man wrote, say. He wrote Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, many other books. And who's another great man in the New Testament? Peter! He wrote, as we already mentioned, two of the books of the New Testament. And yes, we find in the early preaching in the book of Acts, his name is mentioned again and again and again. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4 and verse 12. Okay, now let's look here at verse 11 and verse This is chapter 2 and verse 11 of Galatians. What's it say? But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. You see that? Why, this fellow Peter was in error. This fellow Peter was in mistake. This fellow Peter was doing something that he had to be blamed for, and Paul withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. I mean, you know, eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose, face to face, see? Now, what in the world was Peter doing wrong? Okay, let's look here. See, names are mentioned here with false teaching. Names are mentioned here with false doctrine. Verse number 12. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but then they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And so by his action here, he is teaching that there's one way of salvation here for the Jews and another way of salvation for the non-Jews or the Gentiles. Now that's wrong. There's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But many of the Jews were offended by the name of Jesus, see? And so by his action here, he is giving the wrong impression. Now perhaps he wants to, you know, later get those Jews to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. But right now he's doing wrong, and so Paul rebukes him to the face because he is to be blamed. Now, when you're going the wrong way and you're in some sort of a false position or a false doctrine, unfortunately you lead people astray, see? If you're going the wrong way, you usually get a follower and maybe two or three followers and lead them astray. And that's exactly what happened. Barnabas is a good fella. He loves the Lord. But he's getting caught up in this wrong action and wrong conduct of Peter. Verse number 13. And when the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. You see that? Now, the other thing is true too. When you're going the right way, when you're doing the right thing, when you're setting the right example, you're usually leading people in the right way. Now, one right thing you're all doing this morning. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as we read in Hebrews. So you're coming to church. Oh, how important it is. And we've said, you know, it's always good to go to Sunday school too. That's like a doubleheader. You know, when I grew up near Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Athletics would play. Now, of course, things have changed. Shive Park is destroyed. The Philadelphia Athletics moved out of town. But I like that doubleheader because you'd only pay one price and you'd see two games. Well, you come to Sunday school and you come to church. Why, you only come once and you get two good messages and two good teaching, you see. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's great. Now, I trust you come back tonight. But boy, that's a special trip, isn't it? It's good to get that doubleheader, too, and make only one trip here. So we find here that this fellow Peter is wrong. He's rebuked to his face because he is doing the wrong thing. Now, how do you take that? Well, you know how it is. Somebody tells you, you're wrong, and they rebuke you, and they tell you off. Well, you tend to, you know, get your back up like a mad cat. Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like him telling me off. I don't like him talking about the thing I'm doing wrong. And I'll get even with him. Well, that's not the right way to go. The Bible says, forgiving one another, even as Christ have forgiven you, even as Christ for God's sake have forgiven you. So let's take a look here at how Peter takes this. And you look back in the book of Peter, which he wrote here,
And so we go to Hebrews and James and 1st and 2nd Peter. And we come to the last part of 2nd Peter. Now, this is written quite a few years, you see, after Paul said, you're doing wrong. But Peter corrects his conduct. And listen to what he says about Paul here. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, have written unto you. You see that? Why? He takes that correction and he says, I've been wrong. And he corrects his conduct, and later on he calls him beloved brother Paul. Oh my, how wonderful. And he says, hey Paul, you got a lot of wisdom here. According to the wisdom given unto him. Yes, yes. And so Paul had the wisdom. And he stood up and he dealt with the issue. And he corrected Peter publicly, face to face, eyeball to eyeball. Oh, so important, these names in the Bible. You know, in the book of, Timothy here and Titus and 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus are how to run the church, you see, and what the pastors to do and what the deacons are to do and so forth and a job description and that type of thing, what they're to do. Well, we find here, what are they to do? Well, very, very important. 1 Peter 5:2 says, and we quote, taking the oversight thereof, say. So the pastor is to take the oversight of the church. He's to be pastor of the music. He's to be pastor of the Sunday school. He's to take the oversight, taking the oversight thereof. Now, let's look at another one because this deals with the names. Pastors that love the Lord will deal with names and put names to issues and issues to names. So this is the book of Acts. And we come back here in the book of Acts and chapter number 20. Again, a job description of the pastor. Verse number 28. Acts 20 and 28 as we think of the names. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the church of God which He have purchased with His own blood. You see that? So the pastor here, the term is overseers. Yes, he's to oversee the church of God. As we say, he's to be pastor of every department of the church of God. Yes, how important it is. He's to be the overseer. He's to see that everything's done right. He's to see that the church earnestly contends for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Okay, now in dealing with that, he will have to deal with issues and he will occasionally, on certain situations, mention names. Names of people that do right and names of people that do wrong. Now, why is this? Verse number 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. So he'll deal with issues, he'll mention names to keep the wolves out that would scatter the church and split the church and of course cause havoc and of course hardship for the saints of the church. Oh my, names are so, so very, 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 very important here as we see in the Bible, in the Word of God. Now, let's look at those sections that deal with the teaching for the church here. And this, as we mentioned, is 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. Okay. Now, what do we have here? Have you ever started a book in the back and then read forward? We'll start in the back. This is 2nd Timothy. 2nd Timothy here and chapter number 4. 2nd Timothy chapter number 4. Now, what's it say here in this section here in verse 14? A name is mentioned. This is a bad egg. He has bad conduct. And Paul writes here to the young preacher Timothy. Oh my, his son in the faith, not his actual physical son, but the one that he has been a mentor to and mentored in the faith and instructed here like a one-on-one relationship like in a Bible school. Okay, now, what's he say here? 2 Timothy 4:14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. You see that? Alexander the coppersmith have done me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Now, if there were three Alexanders around here, you sure get the right one, right? It's the one that worked in copper, huh? He's the evil one. He's the one that has opposed my ministry. Hey, he is a bad egg, a bad character. The name is mentioned. Oh, you've probably heard it. I've heard it. You never say anything bad about anybody. If you can't say something good about them, keep your mouth shut and don't say anything. Listen, that is absolutely opposed to the Bible. The Bible says bad about many people. And so we find that we need to obey the book and not go by popular opinion or not go by what is politically correct here. Well, let's look at a good one here. You turn back in chapter number 4 and we read here in verse 11. Paul says, only Luke is with me. Hey, yeah, some had quit, but Luke was still with him. That's good. That's fine. Good name. Okay, now, verse number 10. This is a bad egg. Oh, this is like the ones that we mentioned here, like Alexander the coppersmith. Only probably not quite that bad, but pretty bad. In verse number 10, for Demas have forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica. That's a shame, isn't it? Demas walked with him. Demas was ministering here with Paul, but he quit. Oh, don't quit. Don't be a quitter. What a sad thing. He quit. And why did he quit? The Bible says, having loved this present world. Listen, if you're saved, if you're born again, why, what happens? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Oh, so sad. So sad indeed. We need to love the Lord with all of our heart and all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. We need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We need, if we're saved, to serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Oh my. We need to get out and knock on doors and tell people about Jesus daily in the temple and every house. They cease not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. Yes, he quit. He backed up. He served the Lord with Paul for a while. But sad, he quit. Oh, I've known people that used to run bus routes and bring children to church, but they got cold in their heart. And they quit. They don't run bus routes anymore. And some of them don't even come to church anymore. Demons have forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, let's look here at another one. And this is chapter number 3 and verse number 8. Notice here. Now, as Jamies and Jamborees withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Sad, isn't it? Yes, he doesn't name the names of these people here, actually, but he names the names of those that were against Moses and against Moses' leadership, and the people in that area would know exactly who he was talking about. And so we find here, they're men of corrupt minds. They're reprobate concerning the faith. Oh, how we need to stick up for the book and the faith. Years ago, and this is the name, there was a preacher by the name of Harry Emerson Fosdick. He preached at the Riverside Church in New York City. And he said, and I quote, "Of course I do not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ." Yes, he's a false prophet. He's a false teacher. Listen, if you deny the virgin birth, it shows that you're lost. It shows you're going to end up in hell, in hellfire. Now, when I got saved, I didn't understand all about the virgin birth. But when you get the Spirit of God, old things pass away, all things become new. And you receive and believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus was born of a virgin. He never inherited sin like you have and like I have. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. Yes, that's all mankind. But that's not the Lord Jesus. Yes, He was born without a sin nature. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Oh, I've been in the Riverside Church. Magnificent edifice, bought with the Rockefeller money. Big tower there, bell tower, stories and stories and stories into the sky overlooking the Hudson River there. But yet, sad to say, the gospel needs to go forth, and it does not go forth. The good news of the death and the burial and the bodily resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, verse number 17. 2 and 17 here. 2 Timothy. "And there were defeat of Duffa Canker, of whom is Herminius and Philetus." Okay, what about these fellows? Are they good? They're bad. Okay, what? Verse 18. "Who concerning the truth of errors, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." So these are in false doctrine. They are exposed, and their name is mentioned for all time in the inerrant, infallible Word of God. Names, so very, very, very important. Now, this is not exhaustive by any means. We did want to let you out here by about 3:23 this afternoon, so we won't get into every name in the Bible, you see, here. But notice here what we read in verse 15 of chapter number 1. "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia are turned away from me," away from the ministry of the Apostle Paul, which was correct and accurate, "of whom are Philetus and Hermogenes." Yes, they have gone the wrong way, you see. Names in a wrong way. Well, so important to see this and to note it and to understand it here. Names in the Bible again and again and again and again. Let's turn to the book of Philippians here. And we go back to the book of Philippians here in the Scripture. And we find here in the book of Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians here. But we're in the book of Philippians. And toward the back of it, in chapter 4 and verse number 2, these words: "I beseech Euodias, and I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord." You see it? Okay, here's a couple ladies in the church, and they're scrapping with each other. And the man of God, Paul, says, "Hey, put away your differences and love the Lord and serve Him." And so these names are mentioned in a bad way. Oh, they're in the church there, and yet they're not doing the right thing. Names again and again and again and again and again. Now, let me give you some names here. This is a charismatic preacher here. He's a local fella, Frederick K.C. Price. And we quote, "If you have to say, if it be thy will, or thy will be done, then you are calling God a fool." End quote from Frederick K.C. Price. Well, that's wrong. That's false doctrine. What's the Bible say? "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Now, here's another one. This is Benny Hinn. Okay, this is what he says, and we quote. We've said this a million times, and it's not even scriptural, all because of Job. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I have news for you. That is not Bible. That's not Bible. The Lord giveth and the Lord never taketh away. End quote from Benny Hinn. But Benny's wrong. Benny's wrong. You going to believe Benny or you going to believe the Bible? The Bible says here in the book of Job, in this section of the Word of God, in all this Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. The Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy friends, for ye have not spoken unto me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Now, here's another one. Kenneth Copeland, and we quote, I was shocked when I found out who the biggest failure in the Bible actually is. The biggest one in the whole Bible is God. So he calls God a failure. Are you going to believe him? You're going to believe the Bible. What's the Bible say? Well, a lot of places here. This is Matthew 19 and 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Ah, what's the Bible say? Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out the arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Oh, names. Important here. Names in the Bible. My wife and I were in Bible school here in Los Angeles, 1949. Dr. Billy Graham came to town, his big meeting at Washington and Hill, in the tent there. We heard him preach one night. One night we went, he did not preach, he was sick, and Bob Jones Jr. preached in his place. Oh, that was way, way, way back. 1948, they asked Dr. Graham this question. What do you expect the World Council of Churches to do this August when you visit Copenhagen? And Graham said, quote, I believe they are going to nominate the Antichrist. Now, that's 1948. Billy Graham, a typical fundamentalist statement. I believe the World Council is going to nominate the Antichrist. Well, the World Council are the liberals and the modernists. They say the Bible has all kinds of mistakes in it, their leaders. A lot of them don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Billy was right in 1948. But there's been a change. It's almost like two different Billy Grahams. The Billy Graham of 1948, out of people for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world, they are members of the body of Christ. Oh, so sad. Because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but if they know in their hearts they need something that they don't have, and I think they turn to the only light they have, and I think they are saved, and they're going to be in heaven with us. Billy Graham's televised interview with Robert Shuler, May 13, 1997. Now that's false doctrine. That's what they call universalism. You know, everybody's going to get saved. Everybody's going to get to heaven. But that's not true. That's major, major false doctrine and error. And the Bible says, what? Only salvation in Jesus. We've already quoted it. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, you have to come to Jesus to get saved. Oh, a while back, a few years back, they had a group, and as far as I know, all of these people are converted, born again. I don't wish anybody to end up in hell and hellfire. By the way, Jesus spoke about heaven. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. But word for word for word, that's heaven. Word for word for word, verse for verse for verse, Jesus spoke far more about hellfire and everlasting fire than he ever did about heaven. Well, these fellas, to my knowledge, are all saved. And they got together here with the Roman Catholics. And they had a 25-page statement, document, called Evangelicals and Catholics Together, the Christian Mission in the Third Millennium. Now we have Colson there, the prison group there. We have Bill Bright, who's now dead. By the way, when a Christian dies, they're absent from the body, present with the Lord, which is far better. We have Robertson, Pat Robertson, you know, the TV fella, and he ran for president of the United States of America. We have J.I. Packer. What do they say here in this document, 25-page document here? Well, what do they say? They say that the Catholics and the evangelicals are, quote, brothers in Christ, page 5. What a sad thing, you say. You know, they say and they promise that they would not evangelize the Catholics. Isn't that an amazing thing? You know, I've never had Catholics knock on my door and say, have you been saved? Have you been born again? Have you been converted? But I have had other people knock on my door. And, you know, they agreed that the Catholics are okay. So they're not going to evangelize them. And the Catholics say they're not going to evangelize the evangelicals. Well, that's a tremendous compromise on the part of these four names that I named. One is now dead. Tremendous compromise here. Oh, it's sad, 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 sad indeed. They say that there are 1.1 billion Christians in the world and that 1 billion of these are Roman Catholics. That's a quote from that document way back March 29, 1994. Evangelicals and Catholics together. Sad, sad indeed. Oh, I have many Catholics and their friends, but I've known Catholics and they've come to Jesus. They've been born again. And after a while and after they've got that teaching, I've never known one that's been saved through the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, but after they've been saved through an outside influence, they have said yes, and they've left the Roman Catholic Church. Roman Catholics teach that there's salvation through the sacraments. And who gives the sacraments? The church. And so salvation comes through the church. Why, salvation does not even come through the Baptist church. It comes through Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, this is the life story of C.I. Scofield. Oh, things have changed through the years. I remember years ago I spoke to the faculty and the student body at the Multnomah School of the Bible. Now it's changed quite a bit. It's, we would say, more new evangelical than fundamental. By the way, don't call me an evangelical or a new evangelical. You can call me a Bible-believing Baptist. You can call me a fundamentalist. But don't call me a new evangelical or an evangelical. Well, I was there at Multnomah and spoke to the student body and faculty. It's way back in the 1960s. And I had a little time. I went into the library there. And there was a book called The Life Story of C.I. Scofield, the author of the notes in the Scofield Bible. And it was written by Charles G. Trumbull. And he used to edit the old Sunday School Times magazine, which is now not edited, out of print now. But he writes here about Scofield. And we quote C.I. Scofield. Those who attended one of the Bible conferences in Crescent City, Florida in recent years may recall the vehemence with which Dr. Scofield said one day from the platform, speaking of the tragic devastation that the higher criticism has wrought among the ministers of this generation. Quote, this is what Scofield said. I would rather spend Sunday morning in a saloon than sitting in the church under the preaching of a modern higher critic. End quote. Now that's interesting. You know what higher criticism is? Higher criticism picks the Bible apart. And they says this is true and that's not true, and this is true and that's not true, and we've got about five writers of Isaiah and all the rest, you say. So Scofield says, I don't go for that. And he didn't. And then he, this is Scofield's quote here from the book, page 120. But it remained true that the denomination Congregationalist would not now describe me. It stands for certain liberties which I do not allow myself, for a certain attitude toward the Bible and historic Christianity which is not my attitude. And he describes how he left his denomination and changed to another denomination. Yes, this is what he says. It so happened at last, I lifted my face from my work and found that the denomination in whose fellowship I had found great and true men of God had resolutely moved to positions I could not follow. End quote from C.I. Scofield. Yes, he separated. The Bible says, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. And I'll receive you and be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What does the Bible say? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Oh, so very, very important. Yes, names mentioned in the Word of God. Issues dealt with again and again and again in the Word of God. We need to follow the Word of God in these days. Now, as we come toward a close, how about that question? Are you going to heaven? Or are you going to end up in hellfire? Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There is no escape if you neglect salvation through Jesus Christ. You end up in hellfire. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Are you in the faith? Have you been born again? Have you been converted? Have you been saved? Saved people go to heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Lost people end up in hell and hellfire. 2 Peter 1:10, make your calling and election sure. Luke 19:9, Jesus said this, quote, this day is salvation come to this house. This day. See, people think they can get to heaven, be saved anytime they want, but that's not true. They have to be saved when the Holy Spirit speaks to their heart. Yes. People say, oh, I know how to do it. I'll just put it off. I'll get saved next year. Or I'll wait until I'm 70 years old and get saved. But that's not true, see? You have to be saved when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. And Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house. Oh, my. We read in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the day of salvation. The Lord promises you salvation today. He does not promise you salvation tomorrow. And then how do you get there? God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is great and God is good. Jesus, the Son of God, has the blood. And the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You have to come to the Son for salvation. This is what I did way, way, way back, 1947, here in Los Angeles, California. I said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And Lord Jesus, I've done wrong. And I've broken your commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness. I told many lies. I broke other commandments. And I said, Lord Jesus, save my soul and wash away my sins with your shed blood. And I said, Lord Jesus, I now receive you as my own personal Savior from my own personal sin. And the Lord did just that for me, and He saved my soul way back in 1947. The way into heaven is always the same. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how important it is. Repentance toward God. Repentance is a change of mind which results in a change of action. Nobody is ever saved. Nobody ever gets to heaven without repentance. But repentance alone does not save. In other words, in my case, I had told all those lies. I didn't think much about it. But then one day I was convicted of the Holy Spirit, and I knew I'd end up in hellfire the next day. Oh, I told them for months and months and months and not thought much about it. But then I was convicted of the Holy Spirit, and I repented of my sin. And yes, I changed my mind, see. A change of mind which results in a change of action. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And I came to Jesus. Jesus saves. Nobody's ever saved without repentance, but repentance alone does not save. You need to realize you're a sinner. You need to realize you're going to hell. And come to Jesus and trust Him as your own personal Savior from your own personal sin. Acts 20 and 21. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Know Him as your own personal Savior from your own personal sins. Let's bow our heads and bow our hearts. And while our heads are bowed and our hearts are bowed, and you're saying, "Well, preacher Houck, I don't know the Lord. I need to be saved." Would you just slip up your hand? I'll remember that hand. And we'll see your hand and remember you in prayer. Or else you say, "I'm not sure if I die today, I'd get saved. Not just 100% sure, but I want to make sure, make your calling and election sure. Examine yourself whether you'd be in the faith," just while we wait just for a moment. And then you say, "Well, Pastor, that doesn't apply to me. I know. Not beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I would die today, I'd get to heaven. I'd be with the Lord Jesus. Yes, I'd be absent from the body, which is far better. Present with the Lord, which is far better. But I've been sort of dragging my feet. And I've not been witnessing for the Lord Jesus like I should. And I've not been testifying for Him. And I've not been living for Him like I should. And to pray for me that I might get back in full fellowship with the Lord." Would you just slip up your hand? I'll see that hand. We'll remember you in prayer just at this time. Anybody here just while we wait? All right, let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for this church here, standing these many years for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. We pray Thy blessing upon the church and the people here as they reach out to this area of Gardena, California, and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Help us to love Thee and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. May we be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.